Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. This is your host, Allison, and I'm happy you decided to join us this evening, and thanks so much for being here. You know, Season 2 of Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal, airs tomorrow night on A&E at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our special guest is none other than Chip Coffee himself, co-host of Psychic Kids. Now, Chip not only co-hosts Psychic Kids, but he was a regular on the show Paranormal State, where he appeared in 30 episodes. And Paranormal State, as long as we're on the subject, it airs directly after Psychic Kids tomorrow night at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, it sounds like a good night of watching TV tomorrow. Now, Chip has also been featured as a guest on Larry King Live, Coast to Coast, Maury, Tyra, The Insider, to name a few, and his career has been highlighted in numerous times in print and radio as well. Chip is an internationally acclaimed psychic medium, paranormal investigator, lecturer, and writer. He is the great-grandson of the famed Native American medicine woman, Minnie Sue Morrow Foster. He is a certified paranormal investigator. He frequently consults with victims' families and law enforcement agencies on unsolved murders and missing persons cases. Now, Chip also has a master's degree in counseling, and he works extensively with hospice organizations, providing spiritual support to patients and their families. And one of the things that I especially love him for is he's also an avid animal rescue advocate, and he works with groups across the United States to save animals' lives. Chip was on our show last year, and it certainly is my pleasure to welcome him back to the show tonight. And Chip, I know you must have a pretty busy schedule, and I just want to say that I really appreciate your taking the time out to talk with me tonight, so I just want to welcome you to the show. Hi, Chip.
Allison, it is my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I'm just really thrilled to have you. You know, I've been reading some comments on Facebook today because I know you put a little message out about Psychic Kids coming on tomorrow night for the premiere of Season 2. And I got to say, everyone seems to be pretty darn excited. And also, myself personally, I've been getting some emails and people are pretty excited, happy that Psychic Kids is back on and kind of thrilled that you're on the show tonight.
I am so excited to be on the show this evening, and tomorrow people are not, interestingly enough, people are not going to get to see me on television tomorrow night. So both the premiere episodes are not episodes that I am on. So my first appearance on television is not going to be till the 22nd. But I'm urging everybody to watch both Psychic Kids and Paranormal State tomorrow. My good friend Chris Fleming did an episode of Psychic Kids that is airing tomorrow night. My schedule was, like you said, really crazy. So this time around, I was only able to do 5 out of the 8 episodes of Psychic Kids. And tomorrow night is one of the episodes that Chris did about a missing persons case. Then I come on for my first episode of the new season on the 22nd. And I'm not sure when one of my 2 episodes of Paranormal State will air, but sometime during the season, they did 13. I'm on 2. Again, crazy schedule. So you'll see me quite a bit on television, but perhaps not as much as you did in past seasons.
You know, it's kind of strange because we almost associate you really very strongly with both programs. So I'm sure everybody will miss you, but we'll be patient. We'll wait for you to come along.
I appreciate that.
Why don't you take a moment, you know, because maybe maybe somebody's been living under a rock. Maybe they have not seen Psychic Kids or Paranormal State, but primarily to focus on Psychic Kids, you want to take a moment and maybe describe the show?
Psychic Kids is a show that focuses on young people who have exhibited psychic or mediumistic ability, some sort of ability that is either psychic or mediumistic. Also, it could be that they have experienced paranormal activity in their surroundings, and they've reached out to us to say, we're kind of at the end of our rope, we're in a crisis situation, we don't know which way to turn. And what we do is we try to provide support, guidance, networking opportunities for them with other kids and families who have this similar type of situation going on in their lives, and give them a good baseline to work forward from so that hopefully after we're with them for the very intense 3 or 4 days that we're together, that they're in a much better place than they were when they reached out to us.
So actually, with these families and these children, the families of these children, they reach out to you. This is how you find them?
Absolutely.
Wow. Because I think it's a really positive thing with psychic kids because, number one, it starts the discussion about psychic ability in general. And secondly, it offers a lot of information. And I believe a great deal of comfort to the parents as well as the psychic children, at least from what I've seen from past episodes.
I'd agree with that.
And it sends a message, I think, that they're not alone and that there's other people out there with similar stories. And so I really see it as being a very positive thing because, you know, there might be a child that's sitting there that has these things that hasn't really discussed it with anyone or is afraid to, and see a show like Psychic Kids and then realize, oh, my God, it's not just me. I'm not crazy, or, you know, there's other kids like me. So it kind of makes them feel not so alone in this world. So I think it's a very, very positive thing. My question, though, is, you know, do you counsel them? I know 3 or 4 days of very intense filming, working with these children. Do you counsel them beyond what is seen on the TV show, like maybe afterwards or beyond, you know, just when their appearance?
Generally, the answer to that is sometimes. I will tell you that we give them a network of opportunities to reach out in their own communities, to reach out to each other. So we provide them with guidance and a good, strong foothold for how to proceed forward. But providing ongoing support to them, I would have to say not on a regular basis. We do what we can do for the kids in a very intense 72-hour period or 4-day period. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we really think that we're working practically 24 hours a day with the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we may sleep for a few hours and then we get up and we start all over again. Mm-hmm. So we're really doing a very intensive kind of a therapeutic situation with them over a short haul. But, you know, here's what I say to people when I answer that question. I do and we do what we can for the kids. We're not there to solve every problem that they might have. We're there to help them begin the process of solving all the problems that they may be facing,
right,
or many of the problems that they may be
right
facing. But we've got 50 or more kids, and it would be impossible to actually mentor or follow up each one of those young people on an ongoing basis for the rest of their lives.
Sure.
And honestly, you know what, Allison? That's not what I signed up for. I signed up to do as much as I could for them and to give the best of the best of myself, and
yeah,
I know the others committed to doing the same thing,
right,
in a short period of time. That doesn't mean we untether the kids. They're free to call if they need to be. But quite honestly, for the most part, out of the 50 kids, most of them don't. They check in every now and then to say things are going fairly well. They may have questions about contact information or something like that. But for the most part, the majority of the kids that we've worked with haven't really experienced vast problems beyond what we've helped them out with.
Sure. Well, I think part of the problem is anyone, when they have those paranormal experiences, your first reaction is fear because it's something you don't understand.
Right.
You know, I use the analogy like when a baby's born, and the first time that baby hears a car horn, it's gonna cry, it's gonna shake, it's gonna be afraid because it doesn't understand what that car horn is. But you give that baby a couple of years, and when it hears a car horn, it's just gonna sleep through it because it knows not to be fearful of it. So I think that one of the things, you know, taking that analogy and being able to provide information and explanations, and also to help them to be comfortable with what is happening and not to fear it, I think is a very important, you know, process in giving someone a tool and to be able to move forward in life and of course be able to, you know, in many ways, get a handle on, you know, their gifts. So I think it's a very positive thing overall. But I especially feel, you know, getting the discussion going. Maybe a child is saying, well, I just saw this program and this is happening to these children and it happens to me too. You know, maybe giving them a forum to start the discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
I think that what we're doing is we're trying to instill in them empowerment. I'm going to use a lot of M words here, E words maybe, empowerment and enlightenment and encouragement, and
mm-hmm.
probably education as well. There's a measure, a definite measure of education, not only for the kids, but for their families as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because almost always, without, I can't even think of a single exception, the family is actively involved in the process of what's going on.
Sure.
And there's always real world or third dimensional dynamics going on within those families that also need to be addressed.
Sure. Well, I think for the majority of the what I've seen from last season, that the children seem more empowered by the end of the program, even happier, more comfortable, and more hopeful. You know, I think that that is the message that the program sends. So I.
And so many of them have felt like they're the only ones out there, that they don't know, they do not know other kids who have abilities for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
They feel very alienated and very ostracized if anyone knows about their abilities, many of them within their communities, if their abilities or their experiences are found out there, or they're all of a sudden generally shunned by their community or disbelieved or bashed
mm-hmm.
because of their beliefs. Some of the kids have even been called satanic, you know, devil worshippers, witches. So
sure.
By the time we reach the kids and their families, generally they've reached the end of their rope. They've tied a knot in the end, and they're hanging on for dear life, trying to make some sense out of what's going on with them.
Sure.
And surprisingly enough, one thing that's important to note is the fact that thousands of applications came in for assistance, for us to come to them with assistance.
Sure. Well, I guess the next question is I personally, you know, as a numerologist and doing readings, I find that a majority of my clients, I even took a poll at one point through my newsletters, and I asked people, are you experiencing more paranormal activity now than ever before? And it was a resounding absolutely yes. And even people that are not necessarily psychics, not necessarily mediums, I mean, we've all got our abilities, to a certain extent, but even just the regular average person is having, you know, like dreams or, you know, things that cannot be considered to be coincidences, and contact from the spirit world, people that have crossed over. I mean, I think that this is getting to be, you know, there's an increase in this paranormal activity in general for people. And I think because of this, you know, putting some programming on the air that, as again, starts the discussion, makes it more of a mainstream than, let's say, you know, something else. You know, and then maybe making people more comfortable to discuss it. So all of these are positive things. But what do you feel about increased paranormal activity? Have you yourself seen this?
I will tell you that I believe as we open up to the possibility of what can occur around us, that you'll often hear me say that we don't know what we don't know, and that anything is possible, that things happen that we can't begin to understand or explain but can't deny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my definition of paranormal. Can't explain it, can't understand it, but can't deny that something has happened.
Sure.
I would agree with you that I think, well, I'm going to back up on that for a minute. Maybe it's always been there and we just haven't noticed it.
Could be.
Maybe things have been happening and we've just, you know, tuned ourselves out from it, and as we become more open to possibilities and receptive to accepting that maybe there is something beyond the norm or beneath the surface, if we're willing to look a little deeper, maybe that's when we really begin to recognize that, look, there is something out there that's beyond our scope of understanding.
Sure. Maybe even just giving it a name, you know.
When I was growing up as a kid, you know, if you had told someone, like, we lived in a haunted house when I was growing up, a very active home, and if we had told many people about that, we would have been, you know, sent to the loony bin. People would have thought we were crazy. We would have been
sure.
laughed at and ridiculed.
Right.
Now it's very fashionable to live in a house that's haunted.
Exactly. I mean,
so, you know, I don't think that it has the same stigma
mm-hmm.
that paranormal, living with the paranormal, for the most part. There are those people who still bash, you know, the paranormal or don't believe or are totally, you know, people are crazy, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
But for the most part, I think that a lot of people have become more receptive to the idea that there is something more.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, one thing I want to, you know, you've been on Paranormal State, and really when I think of Paranormal State, I really think of like groundbreaking TV. Because, you know, first there was Paranormal State, maybe there was Ghost Hunters that was on, but there's been a veritable explosion of ghost hunting shows on TV now. We have Ghost Adventures, Extreme Paranormal, Ghost Lab, just to name a few. And what do you think about these programs? Because, you know, these really do cater to young people. It really does cater to, like, I did an interview with the guys from Ghost Adventures, and I have to say, you know, their fans are very, very young. I mean, we're talking teenagers, people in their mid-20s and 30s. There's, you know, explosion of paranormal investigators, and even there's this recent show called Ghost Academy where they're training people for this. I mean, how do you feel about all of that?
I would have to say that I think that as long as people are conscious of the fact that these shows can have an impact on audiences and do have an impact on audiences and deal with subject matter on a responsible level, then I think they're fine. I know there's been a few shows that, and I don't want to go, I don't want to go into detail about shows or anything, but
sure,
I know
sure.
There have been a couple of shows that have, the audiences have really reacted to some of the methodology that was used on the shows, and I don't always agree with the way that people do their investigations, and I'm sure that people don't always agree with the way I conduct business. I always encourage people to use good, practical, common sense. Don't allow yourself to do anything that's you think is going to put you in jeopardy or harm you. You know, don't mess with the paranormal until you've got a good baseline of what you're getting yourself into. It's not a play game. It's not a game. It's something that's very serious.
Right. Exactly. I absolutely agree. But I just think it's interesting that there's just so much of this programming that's on TV. And again, I think it's important to start the discussion. I think it's important to bring awareness. I think it's important for people to ask the question, is there life after death? Can they happen? Is there such things as spirits that walk among us and things like that? So I think it's a really good forum for just kind of putting that information out there and making people think. Some of the shows a little bit extreme. I know I was talking to the guys from Ghost Adventures, and again, you know, they actually found that from going to these various different places and doing their ghost investigations, they actually had spirits that followed them home, and then they started having all this paranormal activity in their house, and I think that kind of took them a little bit by surprise, you know.
Right.
So that's where being educated, using sound practical, you know, knowledge, like you're saying.
And good common sense.
And common sense, exactly.
You know, if you're, I liken it to wading into a dark, swampy area. You know, you don't know what kind of creatures are going to be out there waiting for you as you wade into the woods or into a swamp. You know, so you've got to be constantly aware, or as much as you possibly can be, of the fact that this is pretty much unexplored territory.
Sure.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't begin to understand or know. I say we don't know what we don't know. And we're just beginning to scratch the surface of what the paranormal is really all about, what the spirit world is like, and how to actually bridge that gap between the world of the living and the world of the dead. So it's an interesting dynamic that happens many times. When people get involved in it, they need to really understand that it's serious business.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe, like you said, that the proliferation of shows on television, a lot of the shows that have popped up, are at least beginning to make people think. It's making them consider, well, maybe there is something more.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I've seen, you know, the evidence, you know, even on Paranormal States, certainly on Ghost Hunting and Ghost Adventures, you know, like where you see full-bore apparitions and you see them, the movement, and you know that can't be anything else but, you know, a spirit. And that really, when you're standing there and you're looking at that evidence and you're, you know, it does make you think, and it does, you know, it's talking about, there's a big difference between having the actual proof in hand and just having blind faith. And I think that as, you know, they do these paranormal investigations and as more and more information comes out, you know, it really serves to prove that everything is possible, or anything is possible. So, you know, I think it's just fascinating. I want to ask you, though, you know, because, you know, my big question with this stuff is you got a lot of kids going into these haunted houses and stuff, you know, and I'm wondering, you know, like even on Paranormal State, I mean, obviously you've participated in that program, so you would know the procedure there. I would think that, what do we do is there any spiritual practices regarding protection? I mean, things like, you know, carrying crystals or, you know, anything like that. I mean, what do they do on Paranormal State? What do you do? Like, if I was to say, hey, Chip, what do you do when you're doing a paranormal investigation? Do you have any spiritual practices you go through?
I always turn to prayer before I go in. I pray before I go into any investigation. I spend some time in a prayerful state. I always do as much as I can to prayerfully protect myself prior to going into an investigation. I always, at the end of an investigation, tell the entities that are there that they are not allowed to follow me. Hopefully they will adhere to that admonition, and they will understand that, you know, you can't go with me. That's basically what I do. I always carry holy water with me. You know, I've often been heard to say that I think my Indian name would be Travels with Holy Water.
Travels.
I constantly wear blessed religious medals.
Okay.
I was raised Catholic, so
sure.
I wear those. That's my own personal faith-based belief system.
Sure.
And those are really the things that I do. I put myself, I believe, not to get preachy, but I believe that my God is stronger than anything.
Sure.
So I rely on my faith as my protection.
Sure.
And on Psychic Kids, what we do is we encourage the children and their families to cleave to their faith-based belief system if they have one, and to individually protect themselves spiritually during times of turmoil or trouble that they're experiencing in their family lives in the 3D world or in the paranormal realm.
Sure.
If the kids feel comfortable having holy cards, prayer cards, I will give them to them, or religious medals, I'll give them to them. If they are Jewish, then they may want to wear a Star of David. If they are of other faiths, they may want to adhere to those belief systems. And we encourage them to whatever that belief system is, whatever their idea of the divine or the holy is, to embrace that.
Sure. Sure. Well, I think that's really, really excellent advice. I do know that, you know, again, as I said, I don't know, maybe I'm just an avid fan of paranormal shows in general because, you know, I generally, you know, watch a lot of them mainly because, you know, it fascinates me.
It is fascinating.
Yeah, and I don't think that it would be ever anything that I would really want to do, but I, you know, I give kudos to anybody that, you know, wants to do that. But on Paranormal State, you know, they actually perform some exorcisms on the actual programs, and were you there during one of those?
Two of them.
Yeah. Now, what is that like? Because for me, I'd be like, I don't know if I'd really want to, I don't think I'd have the courage for that. And maybe some people don't understand what an exorcism is or doesn't understand what happened. But, you know, at that time, I don't know, I'd be plastered with holy water medals and anything else.
Oh, I was too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was very well equipped with all the accoutrements of my faith.
Sure.
Although I was raised Catholic, as I said earlier, I had heard about, you know, angels and demons.
Sure.
And I'd heard about the devil and the influence that Satan can have over our world.
Sure.
I'd never experienced it firsthand. So coming into Paranormal State and the demonic realm that I got hit with, you know, from the very jump, was a bit of baptism by fire to me.
Sure.
Literally. And I don't know that I was prepared for what I was getting myself into, but I quickly had to come up to speed.
Sure. Sure. Well, I think that those were rather fascinating, you know, paranormal states to watch, and certainly, you know, that was you know, very intense programs, and again, you know, subject matter that you don't quite often see on television. Listen, Chip, I do know that we heard a beep, and before I take this caller, I just want to tell our listeners and also tell this caller that we're very happy that you called into the show, and we're going to take your call. But tonight, Chip is not doing readings, but what he is doing is, if you have any comments about Paranormal State or Psychic Kids, certainly he'd be happy to listen to your comments. If you have any questions, let's say you have a child that maybe is having some gifts, or maybe you're having some issues with things having to do with the paranormal, you know, Chip is an expert. He's the guy to ask. And so, You know, he's here and more than happy to take your questions regarding those things. But again, it's not going to be a night of readings. We're not doing readings. We're just taking your questions, whatever Chip can do to help you with maybe whatever issues that you have. And before I take this caller, I just want to make sure that I give out the numbers for anyone else that's listening. We are taking calls toll-free 888-815-9756. We also take calls on 530-327-7602. 5185, and 530-876-3222. And if you didn't catch those numbers, just go to the front page of bbsradio.com, and those numbers are right on the front page for Station 1. Okay, caller, I hear ya. Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Natalie calling from New York.
Hi, Natalie. How are ya?
Good. How are you?
Very well. You have a question for Chip.
Yes. I wanted to know how to go about reassuring my kids that it is okay. They're always afraid at night because I guess they see things. They are under 7 years old, and in the evening while they're in their rooms, they would come out and say, there's a man in the room, or we're hearing noises, and I don't see them, so I can't say no, it's not true, or yes, it is true. But how do you go about letting them know that you guys may see things that mommy doesn't see, but it doesn't mean that you need to be afraid?
You just said exactly what I would say. You know, you may be seeing things, that doesn't mean that things are bad. One of the things that you can assure your child of is that, you know, not everything in the dark is going to be scary or spooky. It could be your angel. It could be, you know, if you've had a family member who's passed away, it could be grandma who's coming back to say hello to you. You know, those are things that you can tell your child. Everything is not a horror flick. It's not a horror movie. It's not always the bad guys coming to get you. As a matter of fact, 95% of the time, it's benevolent or benign. It's not something that's bad or dark or, heaven forbid, demonic. And, you know, with children that are particularly young, especially under the age of adolescence, you've got a really healthy dose of childhood imagination going on.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to figure out exactly what's going on there can be difficult and very challenging for parents. So reassuring your child that everything is okay is probably the best thing that you can do. Let them sleep with the nightlight on if they want to sleep with the nightlight on. Encourage them and support them and comfort them. If things start to go really wonky, for lack of a better word, you know, you start smelling weird smells, or your children start getting hurt, I tell people, if your lifestyle, your normal day-to-day activity is invaded or disrupted in malicious or malevolent ways, harmful, hurtful ways, then it's time to start paying attention. But chances are, if your kids are seeing someone or hearing noises or whatever, almost every place is haunted, and that's not a bad word. So it's probably nothing. Watch out for the trigger signs, bad smells, people being hurt, you know, things that are malicious or malevolent. Those are the times when you really have to start, as a parent, worrying.
Okay, Natalie?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you for taking my call.
Thanks,
you're
Natalie.
Welcome, Cindy. Good luck, dear. And I want to remind everyone that's listening to, by all means, go to Chip's website, which is chipcoffee.com, and that's spelled chipcoffey.com. And there's a lot of information there, as well as contact information, even how to get a reading with you, which is exciting. I didn't realize that you were available for readings, Chip, so I think that's a pretty cool thing.
Absolutely.
I'm
available to do either psychic readings or readings that are crossing over. If you have a loved one or a friend or someone that you want to reach out to, I'm certainly available for those types of readings as well.
Right, I saw that. And also testimonials. So, you know, I think that that's a really, it's not that we can see your abilities and we have seen them demonstrated on television, so there's really no need for testimonials. But, you know, I was reading some of them, and some of them are very profound. So, you know, again, it's www.chipcoffee.com, and, you know, hop on over there and take a look at his website while you're listening to this program. And I know that we have another caller, Chip, so I'm going to take the next caller. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Allison. My name is Chuck. I'm down in Florida. How are you?
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Doing great. I'm listening to my favorite blog talk radio show, BBS show rather, with you, and I've always wanted to say hello to Chip, so I love the show and wanted to say hello.
Hey, Chuck. It's good to hear you.
Same here, Chip. Always been a big fan from day one. It's very, very well done.
Well, thank you. You know, it really is, for me, it's a real labor of love to try to reach out and help as many people as I possibly can. And I think that's the case with all the people that I've worked with the folks on Paranormal State and the folks on Psychic Kids. I think we do it because we have a genuine caring for other people, and we want to do whatever we can to try to make life better for those folks. So thank you for your compliments.
Good. I've heard a couple of comments about longevity of the show itself. Is there any word on whether it's going to continue, which we hope it does? But with like Ryan being a little bit older now and out of college, is that going to be a factor here?
You know, I really haven't heard anything definitive along those lines. I don't know definitely what's going to happen beyond the fact that there are 13 episodes that will air in season 4. Beyond that, I really haven't heard what's going to happen with Paranormal State. With Psychic Kids, you know, we're hoping that we get good numbers, that people will tune in. With the networks, it's all about how many people are watching the show. Is there popularity of the show? Do people respect the show? So those are the things that will really make or break a television show. Are people tuning in? Are they interested in it? So my suggestion is, if you like the shows, encourage your family and friends to tune in so that the numbers will run high and the networks will renew.
I'll do that.
Wow, I'm actually pretty excited right now because I think I have two of my favorite mediums on the line at the same time. I'm feeling very selfish right now with all this energy here, Chuck Bergman and Chip Coffee. Wow, that's pretty exciting. So I might just sit here for a while. This is good energy.
So, Chuck, you're a medium as well.
Yeah,
and I'd like to thank you because I'm down in the Jacksonville area, Chip, and I guess recently someone down here was in need of a medium. And you recommended me, and I was honored that you would even know who I was or throw my name out to the person.
Well, my pleasure. You know, I can't be everywhere. You know, so many people reach out. I'm speaking to the converted here. You know, so many people reach out to us, and we wish we could be there for every single person. But that's impossible because there's only so many hours in the day. So I do like being able to offer up the assistance of other people that I know are committed to their work and are interested in providing good, sound services to their fellow man and woman.
Mm.
Okay, but Chip, I have one interesting statement. You might find this one funny. I've got a 5-year-old son. I am a psychic medium, and just the other day I was in the garage with my son, and you know when someone turns around real quickly because someone sneaks up on them? Well, my son turned around really quick. Now he's only 5. And he looked at me and said, "Dad, did you hear that woman laughing?" Now I'm supposed to be the media, but I didn't hear a word. I didn't hear anything.
Well, you know, it's pretty evident that the fruit didn't fall too far off that tree, right?
That's what I'm wondering. And he has done other things. And as a parent, I kind of downplay it. Like my mom did with me. My mom was also a medium, and her mom was a medium. And I never even found out about it till after she had passed over. And I found about it from relatives over in England who spilled the beans on Mom.
Well, you know, and what you can do is encourage your child. Encourage your child, be supportive of your child. Listen, it's no different than just being a good conscious parent to a child who doesn't have psychic abilities. It really is not that dramatically or intrinsically different. It's just good conscious parenting. The rules of the game are practically the same.
Absolutely.
Well, Chuck, thanks so much for calling into the show, and it's lovely to hear your voice.
I couldn't resist when I heard Chip would be on tonight.
Well, thanks for calling, sweetie.
Good luck with your work, Chuck.
All right. Well, that's exciting. I mean, I really respect Chuck's work, too, so that's pretty exciting. So having both of you on there.
That was fun.
All right. Well, listen, as I said, we're going to keep the lines open, and if anyone that's listening and perhaps you have a question for Chuck, maybe you yourself have, you know, a child, a psychic experience or experiencing paranormal things or just want, you know, to ask an expert, this is really a wonderful opportunity to just get through on the show and ask chip a question. So I'm thinking, here's the numbers again. It's 888-815-9756, 530-327-7602, 530-413-4511, and 530-876-3222. But I don't mind having you all to myself, Chuck. So, I mean, Chip. Sorry, Chuck. Okay, got me all screwed up on names there. I don't mind having you all to myself because I still, you know, you've known that you've had these psychic abilities for a very long time. When was the first time that you actually realized that you had psychic abilities?
My psychic abilities manifested themselves pretty young, as a matter of fact, 2 or 3 years old, and it was really simple precognitive stuff, just like knowing the phone was going to ring sometimes and who would be on the other end of the line, or that we were going to have somebody come and visit us at home, my family and I. And I would announce their arrival prior to them even pulling into the driveway. So it started out really very simply, and I am asked a lot if I had a lot of discord or disharmony or trouble as a kid growing up as a psychic, and honestly, I didn't. You know, not that we talked about it a lot. It wasn't like the best kept secret, but we just didn't go out and publicly announce it. But I did not have trouble as a kid growing up as a psychic kid. Mm-hmm. So it was very unique and new to me to see the kids that now are having difficulties.
Sure. Sure. Well, that's very fortunate because, you know, it's... You know, and sometimes I also feel that on some level, everyone has psychic ability to a certain extent.
Everyone does.
Right. And sometimes, you know, just because you have these experiences, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to grow up and be a psychic medium. You know, sometimes the purpose of having a connection to the higher realms or having an ability to receive messages is just to use for guidance in your own life. Helping you with your decisions, helping you, you know, move through life.
And it is a skill set. It really is. It's one of those things like some people are good at playing the piano or other skills, playing tennis or golf or whatever. You know, they have a certain set of abilities that they're very good at or skills they're very good at.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone is going to have this onslaught, this rush, this heightened sense of psychic ability, but everyone has some level of intuition. And, you know, I believe that it lies dormant in some people. Some people are able to tap into it on a very modest level, and some people are able to get a lot of information. So it varies with the degree with which someone is going to be able to tap into that intuitive side of themselves.
Sure, sure. Well, Chip, I know that I heard someone call in, so I'm going to see who's calling, please.
Chuck from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi there. Do you have a question for Chuck?
I had a comment. It's just thank you so much for all that you do for the children, Chip, and for the animals. And it's so beautiful that what you do. And Allison, of course, everything you do is wonderful too. But just so much. I don't want to take up time with my stuff. I just wanted to thank you for what you do.
I am honored by your words. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sweetie.
Okay. Good night.
Right. Well, I'm glad that I believe that was Mark, and I'm glad that he brought up the animals because, you know, I'm sitting here in my living room, and I currently have 2 adopted rescues myself. And quite often I see your messages on Facebook and Twitter where you're trying to find a home for a dog or a cat, and my heart goes out to you, and I wish that I had more room because I would be one of those people. My husband would break my fingers if I picked up the phone or answered you and said, no more, Allison. But God love you for your love of animals, and I know that you have your own fur babies. You've got your own children, don't you?
I have 4 dogs and a cat, and they're all rescues of various situations that they were rescued from, ways that they came into my life, and I adore my girls. They're all females, and, you know, I've got, how many have I got in the room with me now? I think I see 3 in the room with me now, and I'm not sure where the little one is. She's probably buried underneath the pillows on the couch. She loves to hide herself. So, you know, I am an animal lover. You know, I want to take them all into my home and make sure they're all safe and fed and cared for.
Sure.
But unfortunately, I can't do it all, and so I try to reach out as often as I can and encourage people who have the room, the space, the love, the funds, the resources to adopt a shelter animal do it, because 3 to 4 million animals die each year in shelters, and it's heartbreaking. And spay and neuter your pets. I sound a little like Bob Barker, but spay and neuter your pets.
Absolutely, spay and neuter your pets. Yes, I live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You know what that's famous for, don't you?
I do.
Puppy mills, yeah. And my little girl, Roxy, was actually a puppy mill female, so she was used for breeding for the first 5 years of her life. And she didn't know what it was like to touch grass. She didn't know what rain was. She didn't know that she was little and she couldn't jump off furniture. And so it was an exercise when we rescued her. It was an exercise in just making her become adjusted to freedom and to be able to roam and human touch and love and affection.
Yep.
And it's been, for me, you know, I have other adopted animals. But, you know, for Roxy, her special situation, it's just been a joy to see this joyous, loving, beautiful spirit of an animal come out, and how much love she has to give and how much joy she brings, you know, to us. It wasn't me doing anything for her. It's really what she's done for us and the incredible love that she's given us. And I know that you know what I'm talking about. I know you hear me. So God bless you for your work that you do.
Well, thank you. I do what I can. I do what I can.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
You know, it never feels like it's enough.
No,
it just never does, but you do what you can, and I always say, one life at a time,
right.
One life at a time, and that's what we can do. We can save one life at a time and make sure that as many animals as we possibly can reach out to and save their lives, we become responsible, we become conscious, and we do what we can.
Sure, and that's a testimony, too. You know, quite often it's like you walk the walk and talk the talk. It's like, you are love. You demonstrate love in your work. You demonstrate love in everything, and even in your care for animals, your work with hospice, volunteering, and things like that. You know, and to me, that's where you can really not only respect someone's work, but respect them as a human being. So, you know, I just share that with you, that, you know, demonstrates the love in your heart. And so, you know, I'm just kind of offering you some kudos there. But I do know that we have another caller, so I'm going to take my next caller. Who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You got a question for Chip?
Well, first of all, what you guys were just saying about the animal rescue and all that stuff, like, I totally am on the same page, and I'm so happy, Chip, that you are putting out this message about spay, neuter, and rescuing and stuff. We have been proponents of it for a long time. We actually, right now, we have 13 rescue cats, and,
wow.
Well, at one point we had 26, but, we made a vow. We couldn't take in any more, obviously, because of the vet bills and everything. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, as they pass away or whatever, we're down to 13, and we love them all so much. They're like our little family. But and the other thing you were saying about puppy mills, I live near Lancaster too, Allison. So I actually just wrote a letter to the editor about puppy mills, hoping that, you know, even just one less person would buy a dog from a puppy mill. So whatever. But anyway, I don't want to waste time. I just wanted to ask you, Chip, do you think that animals can, like, see supernatural things like spirits and stuff like that more so than people?
I do, and there's a wonderful new show on television. Some of my dear friends in New York have put a show on Animal Planet called The Haunted. And if you haven't had a chance to watch that show, I've had a chance to catch a few episodes of the show, and I'm very intrigued by it. It's about how animals respond and react to paranormal phenomena. It's a really brilliant idea, and I'm very happy to plug the show for my friends in New York. If you haven't seen it, watch it. Animal Planet called The Haunted.
I saw it on the listing, but I didn't see it because I didn't know what it was. I was like, haunted. I didn't even notice that. So, yeah, I'll check that out.
I wish they'd put something in it about animals, but unfortunately that's not in the title. But I guess maybe people are thinking that since it's on Animal Planet, you'd probably put those together. I don't know if people are or not. I do believe that animals are sensitive. You know, I see my dogs react to something. Here's a cute story of something that happened to me. I'll just give you an example. In the room that I'm in right now, it's kind of like the family room, my office, everything. We spend a lot of time in this room. And there are French doors at the end of the long room that lead out onto my screened-in back porch, and I let the dogs out to the backyard in that direction. And we all came in, the four dogs came in one night. I came in and locked the French doors, and we're sitting in the room here. And all of a sudden, the door that I just locked swung open. Wow. Well, the dog started looked over at the door, started to bark, and ran out of the room. And I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks a lot. Leave me here. So they took off like, we're out of here. You're on your own, buddy boy. And so, you know, I thought that that was kind of interesting that they reacted in that way. And I, lots of times I see them sort of look at something and their tails will wag, and there's just nothing there.
Right. Yeah, because I noticed, like, a couple of my cats, like my one cat, Myrtle, like, she always just, like, when she's laying in my arms, she, like, looks at me, but then she looks, like, just right above my head at something. Like, she just stares at it, like, wow, like, there's something right above my head, and I'm like, what is she looking at?
Well, it's really very interesting. One last story that I'll tell you is this about my dogs. Gracie is my last rescue. And Gracie, I rescued her 3 hours from a kill shelter before she was scheduled to be euthanized. And aww. For some reason, when I saw her face on the internet, I started to cry and cried constantly over that dog. Even after I knew that I'd gotten her pulled out of the kennel or out of the shelter, that she was supposed to go to live in, with other people. But, of course, as fate has it, she wound up with me. And, you know, I got told by my spirit guides that she came with her own spirit guide that was going to work with me, whose name is Ambrose, A-M-B-R-O-S-E. And it's very funny that even though her name is Gracie, if I say the name Ambrose, which is a rather uncommon name, every one of my dogs will react to that name.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
And so we know who this is, and Gracie will look. She's lying on the floor looking at me right now, as a matter of fact. And you know who Ambrose is, don't you, Gracie? And her tail is wagging.
Oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for taking my call. I appreciate it. And I love you, Chip, and I love both of your shows.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays, guys. Bye-bye.
Well, I just realized, Chip, that you just gave me another show to watch.
I know.
It's on my list now. That's another one. Okay.
Thank goodness for TiVo, right?
Right. Yes, I don't stay up that late at night, so I have to, you know, TiVo a lot of them. But
me too.
You know, one thing about my Roxy that and my dogs, you know, I was actually doing a show with an animal communicator, and she was also a psychic medium, and Roxy comes right over to my desk, looks straight up at me, and starts barking her head off. Now, normally she's quiet during shows, but she's barking, which, you know, she's got an adorable bark, but it's a little bit annoying. So after the show, the animal communicator calls me up, and she says, you know what, your dog was trying to talk to me during the show, and she said, and I told her that I would call back, I'd make an appointment, and then I would have a discussion with her if she would just be quiet. And it really was amazing, because when I did finally have this conversation with her, I mean, this was amazing, because Roxy was talking about, I asked her, I said, how's Roxy's leg feeling? Now, this woman didn't know nothing about Roxy's leg. And Roxy said, well, I felt really bad when it happened because you were all so upset. She said, but, you know, she said, the first doctor couldn't help me, but the second one did, and it's feeling fine now. Now, her leg got broken, and the first doctor, it didn't heal properly, but we had to go to a surgeon who put a plate in, and consequently, it was the second doctor that fixed her, which was immediately really kind of amazing part of that whole conversation with Roxy. But you know what was even more fascinating was Pepper's my other dog. And so I asked the animal communicator to ask Pepper if she missed Gus. Now, Gus was one of our dog before we ever had these two. Well, Pepper lived with him, but not Roxy. And I asked her if she missed Gus. And you know what she said? She said, why would I miss him, Mommy? He's always here. And besides, we got him in a box on the table. Now, I swear to God, we have Gus's ashes in a box on the coffee table the TV stand with his picture on it. I swear to God.
Aww.
Oh, it was so awesome, though, you know. And animals do communicate to you. You know that. You know, you hear their thoughts. They're talking to you all the time. So I think that's another reason why.
My animals, I will tell you this, many of them will climb in bed with me at night. Sometimes it's hard to jockey for room in bed at night. There are so many of them in bed with me. And I know that my Molly, who is my dog that had cancer at Christmas time last year, and I know that she's kind of, I love all my animals, but she's kind of got a special place in my heart because she recuperated from cancer. And when she's lying in bed with me and my arm is thrown over her as we're going to sleep, or I am lying close to her, I know that my soul melds with her soul.
Aww,
it's just it's nice. That it's that intense a connection. It's paranormal. It's beyond the norm. It's just absolutely our souls touch each other.
You can't explain.
And it's just this huge bond.
Yeah, you can't explain it. Well, I think we could talk about dogs and animals forever because, you know, there's so much love that comes from them. But I do want to kind of get back to, you know, conversations here. I want to remind everyone that's listening, maybe you just joined the show, and we're talking to Chip Coffee. And, of course, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on A&E, the second season of Paranormal Kids. So you don't want to miss that. And immediately following Paranormal Kids, it's Paranormal State, and I know a lot of people are avid fans of both shows. I know that I've been getting some emails. I saw a lot of comments on Facebook. I know everyone is super excited and really looking forward to this. Hey, Chip, is there anything we can do? Like, can we, like, email, you know, and say how much we love the show? Is there anything we can do, your fans?
I think there's a comment place on aetv.com, which is the A&E Network website. I think there's a place to write comments on that website. If you go and look on the AETV website, I think you'll find a place to send in comments.
Sure. Well, then, you know, hey, maybe we should all watch the show and put some comments in, because we definitely want to keep you on the air. Because, you know, I know that you said you're not going to be on the first episode, but really I think that your presence really does make that show, and you know, I think that's the way a lot of us feel. I also want to get back, because like I said, I was reading your website tonight, and I don't know why I had never seen this before, but you do readings, and I think that this is so awesome. And what you do, more than one kind of reading. There's a general reading, and then there's a mediumship reading.
Correct.
Right. Can you explain the difference between the two, and then also explain to everybody how they can get a hold of you for a reading?
General readings are basically readings that are psychic readings. They're readings that really, I describe them as the energy of the living. If you have questions about career or things that are going on in your life around you, things that are concerning you about how your life is going at this point in time, questions about finances, romance, those sort of questions, you know, career. That would be a psychic reading. Am I going to move? Should I move? Those sort of questions that pertain to your life. That would be a general reading. A mediumship reading or a crossing over style reading would be if you have a loved one who has passed away and you want to reach out and reconnect with that loved one, that's a crossing over reading.
Mm-hmm. So there's two different kinds of readings, and they can make arrangements for that on your website?
At chipcoffee.com. Everything that I do on the Internet, on social networking sites and my website, you can find me at Chip Coffee. You can find me at Chip Coffee on Facebook. You can find me at Chip Coffee on Twitter. You can find me at Chip Coffee on MySpace. You can find me at chipcoffee.com. So everything is just branded with my own name. I like to keep it simple. I don't want to come up with some, you know, psychic Chip or medium Chip or anything akin to that. It's just, you know, it's all just my name.
Right. Well, that's okay, and that's the way it should be. You also have some merchandise on your website as well.
I have some of it is kind of a poke a fun
uh-huh.
at myself. Anybody who knows me knows I'm fairly self-deprecating, and although I take my work seriously, I don't take myself too seriously. So one of the T-shirts was kind of poke at fun of myself, and the T-shirt says, "I'll have a medium Chip coffee, please." And the coffee mugs that we started selling, I used to not think that I was, you know, my name was such a common name, and, you know, I thought it was kind of who's named after a beverage? You know, but
right.
Now it's kind of fun that I can have a coffee mug spelled C-O-F-F-E-Y, and on the face of the mug, it says coffee mug, and it's just very simple. And some of that is just, you know, poking a little fun at me and my name and stuff like that, because, whereas I said, I take my work incredibly seriously, but myself, I like to have fun. I'm very much grounded in the 3D world, and anyone who knows me will tell you that I say that I'm the son of an Irish sailor and a frequently wacky mother, so this is what you get.
Well, and, you know, that's what makes you so incredibly lovable, and also I think that's what also makes people reach out and connect to you and feel comfortable, and also, you know, cheer you on, because we want to see you be successful,
well,
because we love you.
You
so much.
Thank you.
Know,
and as successful as I am, one thing that I will commit right here on your radio show is that with my success, it is not going to change who I am. Intrinsically, for every and for every purpose, I'm always going to be the same Chip that I've always been. And as much as I can commit to my own success and look forward to my own success, I'm the type of person that will always share that success with others.
Love that.
With animals, with people who are in need. However I can be of service to other people who are animals who are in need, that will never alter. That will never change.
Well, that, I can't think of a better way to end the show. And as much as I hate to admit it, 55 minutes has flown by, and it's time for us to say goodbye. Can you believe it?
Well, I'd like to wish everybody their happy holidays and remind everybody to keep tuning in to Paranormal State and Psychic Kids. We appreciate your support.
And we will certainly tune in tomorrow night, I promise you. Thank you so much, Chip, for being here with us.
Thank you, too, and I am happy to have been on your show. Happy holidays. You hear my other line ringing now.
Okay. See you, Chip. Good night, everyone.
Bye.